All right, the study sheet we've given you tonight covers the last three Wednesday nights as well as tonight. It was the Wednesday after Palm Sunday, I think, that I started this small series on the activities of Jesus. And we first of all looked at the activities of Jesus from when he said it's finished until he said that he is risen. And that's the first page. The second page is from he is risen to a cloud received him out of their sight. And just all the appearances of Jesus, what he was doing during that time, during those 40 days when he walked this earth, and just the things that the Bible tells us about. The first page we just got through looking at probably caused some thought on. I've heard from some who said that they had never thought about it that way before, and this way I didn't have that in print at that time, so this way it'll be there for you so you can look it up again. Last time we looked at from his ascension to the completion of his church, and we looked at those things last week. And where, first of all, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Remember, we went over those all the way down to just the things that Jesus is doing now. What's he doing now while he's in heaven before he comes back for us? And it lists 10 things there. The last page, which we'll look at tonight, is from the return of Jesus Christ for his church to the eternal state. The eternal state meaning when he makes the new heaven and new earth. And that's the way it's going to be throughout all eternity. And so from his return at the rapture until he comes, until he makes a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I put all this together so that you'd have it all in one sheet that's easy to put in your Bible or file away somewhere. And it's really, I've read through it all again today as I prepared these one each week. But I just read through all of it today. And it's just a lot of information there about what the Lord has done and what he is doing. But now we're going to look at the last part, and that is from the return of Jesus to the eternal state. Let's begin by turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can survey your word tonight and see the activities of our Lord. And Lord, I know that most of us probably are familiar with what we're going to talk about tonight. But it's good to see it all in front of us and see everything that's going to happen in the sequence of that. Help us to be people who know the Word and who are able to share that knowledge with others. Because there's so many people, Lord, who don't know these basic truths. And help us to realize that we are to be Bible people. Now bless this time together, and we'll just praise you for what you do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. From the return of Christ till the eternal state. The first one, of course, as we listed on your notes there, is Jesus will return from heaven, bringing with him the church saints who have died. The first thing that's going to happen when Jesus comes back is he's coming back from heaven and he's bringing with him certain people. And I believe those are church saints. So I believe when Jesus returns that he's going to bring with him those that you knew that have died and gone on to be with the Lord. My dad, I believe, will be coming back with the Lord because he's been with him up there for many years now. And so when Jesus comes back, my dad's coming with him. And the next time I see my father, I'll probably see him in the air, and I'll have a glorified body, and he'll have a glorified body. So that's the next thing that's happening. Jesus is coming back with those who have died and gone on to be with him. Now, this is good evidence here that the teaching of soul sleep is not true. You know, some people believe that the soul sleeps. And we believe that the body, you might say, sleeps in the grave, but not the soul. The soul and the spirit is with the Lord. And so here it says the Lord is bringing them with him. Them, speaking of their person, they've been up there with him, and he's bringing them with him when he comes down to the earth. And then after as he brings them down, the first thing will happen is he will resurrect their bodies. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Lord will resurrect their body and change it, transform it so that it's a glorified body. Their soul and spirit that's been in heaven is going to unite with their new body, and they'll be a complete person again, body, soul, and spirit. And then the Lord's going to, after doing that, then immediately the Lord's going to is going to change us who are left behind, or who are left here, who are still alive. We've never experienced death. I say we because that's what we're hoping for all of us. So if the Lord would come tonight, that's what would happen. The dead would rise. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this passage doesn't talk about how we're going to be changed and glorified, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 does. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I know that's a verse that's sometimes put on nursery walls. You know, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But it's talking about not everybody's going to be asleep. Not everybody's going to sleep. Not everybody's going to die. Now, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But everybody who knows the Lord in this church age is going to be changed. So we're going to have a glorified body. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And so we are going to have new bodies. And that's told to us in the passage we just read, as well as 1 Corinthians 15. Now, the next thing, number two, is Jesus will take all church saints in their glorified bodies with him to heaven. So Jesus is going to take us with him to heaven. Then we, which are alive, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now we take that passage in connection with John 14. John 14, you remember, says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go in my Father's house where there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he's coming back to get us, and then he's going to take us to be with him in heaven. Now, if you're talking about, let's say, my dad, dad's going to leave heaven with the Lord, come very quickly to this earth. Immediately, the Lord's going to resurrect his body, unite his soul and spirit with his body. The Lord's going to change us who are left here. We're going to be changed. And then immediately, we're all going to go back up to heaven. My dad and your loved ones who knew the Lord are not going to be out of heaven very long, I don't think. I believe they're leaving heaven, coming back with Jesus. Jesus taking us up, rapturing us out of here, and we're going back up to heaven. And that's where we'll be while the tribulation period is going on down on this earth. Now look at number three. Jesus will take his church to the judgment seat of Christ for examination. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that, you know, we build no other foundation as no man laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We have to be careful how we build upon that foundation. Some people build with gold, silver, precious stone. Some build with wood, hay, and stubble. But the fire is going to try your building, and the Lord will burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. The gold, silver, precious stones will stay, and we'll be rewarded for our good things that we've done for the Lord. We'll experience loss if we haven't. But we'll be saved, yet so as by fire. That's the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that as well as Romans chapter 14, verse 10. So Jesus will take his church to the judgment seat of Christ. We don't know how long that's going to last. Some people believe it's going to last for almost 7 years. I don't know about that. I just don't know how long it will last. But it'll take place in heaven while the tribulation is going on down on the earth. And then the marriage of the Lamb will happen. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let's turn there, Revelation 19. The reason I wrote down verse 1, Revelation 19, verse 1, it says, "And after these things, that's after those, the tribulation period and all that, after these things, I heard a great noise or voice in heaven. I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." And then verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Somewhere, probably at the latter part of that time in heaven, I don't know because I don't know how long the judgment seat will last. But at the end of that judgment seat, the wife has made herself ready. Everything's been taken care of. And the marriage of the Lamb comes. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Just like you'd dress up a bride. "For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." And so the Lord's going to have us all clothed in these fine linen. And we are the bride of Christ, and the marriage of the Lamb is going to take place. And that's going to be in heaven. Following the marriage of the Lamb is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Look at verse 9. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These things are the true sayings of God." So the marriage of the Lamb is one event. That is followed with the celebration, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, in our long series we did on Bible doctrine, we pointed out that the marriage supper of the Lamb could take place in heaven or it could take place on earth. There's some evidence, I believe, to support that it might take place on earth. Maybe after the Lord's destroyed his enemies at the end of the tribulation period, he comes back to set up his kingdom, and then he and his bride's coming with him. You know, she's made herself ready. She's coming with him. And then he invites all these guests, because we don't have time to look at all of it tonight, but we know that there are passages that talk about the guests who are invited to the wedding. And it might be Old Testament saints and tribulation saints and all that invited as guests to the wedding, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It could take place on earth after the Lord comes back with his bride. Or it could take place in heaven. I don't think you can prove it either way. But I put that down as number 4 because we've been talking about what's going on up in heaven. And so it could, rather, number 5. But then after that, number 6, while Jesus deals with the church saints in heaven, he will also be dealing with those left on earth during the 7-year tribulation period. So he takes us out of here. And while we're doing the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb and maybe the marriage supper, if it doesn't take place a little later on earth, while that's going on, down on this earth, the Lord Jesus is doing things as well. And that is, he is bringing judgment. Now, the reason I believe it's Jesus, of course, it's God, but Jesus particularly, because the Bible says the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. All judgment unto the Son. And so because Jesus is God, he can do all this in heaven and also be bringing all this to pass down on earth. And that's what he's doing. We're talking about the activities of our Lord. Let me stop for just a minute. When people make light of Jesus Christ, when they make light of who he is, then in your mind's eye, just go back to these 4 pages of all that Jesus has done, is doing, and will do. I tell you, when you talk about who Jesus is, he is the Son of God, and he's the Almighty Son of God. And he is doing so much, and he will do so much, for somebody to put themselves in opposition to this person that we're talking about. That's very serious business. Very serious business. So again, let's look back at what Jesus will be doing in the future. Number six, again, when Jesus deals with the church saints, and while he's dealing with church saints in heaven, he'll be dealing with those that are left on the earth during the 7-year tribulation period. Now, we're not going to look at it tonight. We've gone through this in length in the study of Revelation. But Revelation 6, verse 6 through chapter 6 through 16, we see the three series of judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the vial judgments. And I believe that when you get to the seventh seal, that seventh seal is the seven trumpets. When you blow the seventh trumpet, that seventh trumpet is the seven vials. And so in reality, you could say the seventh seal opening, that seventh seal, the seventh seal consists of seven trumpets and seven vials, because they all flow out of that. But anyway, all these judgments are coming upon the earth. And since Jesus is the judge, he's the one that's doing all this, bringing all these judgments upon the earth. And then look at number seven. After the tribulation period, Jesus will return with his church from heaven. He's coming back with them from heaven. Look at verse 11 of chapter 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, fine linen, white and clean. If I just drew a little line there from my Bible over to verse 8. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. This is the church. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Jesus is going to return with his church from heaven at the end of that tribulation period. And then number eight, Jesus will cast the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Look at verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And so I believe Jesus is involved in this because he is the judge. And this is the judgment of the beast and the false prophet. And so he will cast them into the lake of fire. Now, those men will never get out. They'll never get out of that place. Number nine, Jesus will slay all of his enemies. Verse 15 tells about him coming for that. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. He's going to smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And then verse 21 tells us about him actually slaying them. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And so here the Lord is destroying his enemies. And then number 10, then Jesus will cause Satan to be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. I say he will cause him to be cast into the bottomless pit, because it says in verse 1 of chapter 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Some people believe that might be Jesus. But anyway, he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. He must be loosed. In other words, it's still under God's direction that that happens. So after Satan is cast into that bottomless pit for 1,000 years, then Jesus will rule on the earth for 1,000 years. Verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I can remember years ago discussing this with someone. He was a member of our church, and he had been reading about after some people, and he said, "I don't believe in this 1,000-year reign of Christ." And I can remember opening my Bible and reading. I mean, how do you get around it? He still didn't believe it. But how do you get around it? "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 3, till the 1,000 years. Verse 2, he bound them 1,000 years. Verse 3, till 1,000 years be fulfilled. Verse 4, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, until the 1,000 years were finished. And then verse 6, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired." I mean, how many times does the Lord have to say it? 1,000 years.
How can you be a Christian and not believe?
Well, there's a lot of people who have different ways of looking at things. And I believe he was a Christian, but I think I'll see him in heaven someday and I'll get to say, "I told you so." No, we probably won't do that either, because we'll all be just exactly the way we should be. We'll all love each other. But anyway, so I think there will be 1,000 years, and it's very evident from what that says. So Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then the next thing, Jesus will loose Satan for a little season. Now, it said that in verse 3, after that, he must be loosed a little season. God had it all planned, has it all planned. There will be 1,000-year reign. Before that 1,000 years, he'll cast Satan, he'll bind Satan for 1,000 years. And then at the end of that, he'll loose him for a little season. And so Jesus is going to loose him for a little season, allowing him to deceive the nations. And then everybody that follows him, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire." I'm sorry. And verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." And so all that follow him will be destroyed. And then number 13, Jesus will cast Satan into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented forever. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." And I remind you, they have been there for 1,000 years, because they were cast in there before. And they're still alive. They're still being tormented. And you add to that another 2,000 years, and they're still there. And I'm sorry. At this time, they'll be in there 1,000 years. And then after that, there'll be much more. I'm getting my mind mixed up here. But here they're conscious there for 1,000 years, and then the devil joins them. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Recently, I pointed out that in the original language there, the shall be is actually third person plural. And it means they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That means the beast, the false prophet, and the devil that just joined them. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so all of them are going to experience that. And then the next thing, number 14, and that is Jesus will destroy the present heavens and earth. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." So the first thing, as he's setting up this throne, he's describing who's sitting on the throne, and that is the one before whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. It's like after the Lord throws the devil into the lake of fire, then the Lord says, all right, now it's time to destroy the earth, which he had promised to do by fire, and he destroys the earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it describes that. Again, talking about what Jesus is going to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so the Lord's going to burn it all up. And as I remind you, as we looked at last time, I think, was what's one of the things Jesus is doing now? Jesus is holding everything together. By him all things consist, they hold together. And all he has to do is release that holding power and they all fly apart and great explosions take place and the universe burns up. Just as easy as it was for God to speak it into existence, all he has to do is release that holding power and it all burns up. So I think Jesus is the one who burns up the universe and he'll destroy this present heaven and earth. Then the next thing he'll do, let me stop just a minute. The one we're talking about that does all this, he's my Savior and he's your Savior. He's the one that loved you. I mean, somebody this powerful can love? Yes, he loved you so much he died for you. He paid the price for your sins on the cross. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. And so he did all that for us. This is personal. We're talking about my Savior. I mean, we should be impressed with our Savior. And this is all the things that he does. So after he destroys the present heavens and earth, he'll judge the unsaved at the great white throne. Back to Revelation again, chapter 20. I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. So there's no place to hide now. Remember, if you do a study of Hades or Sheol, Hades the Greek word for hell, and Sheol the Hebrew word for hell. If you do a study of that in the Bible, you'll find out that that is located in the center of this earth. Today, it's located in the center of this earth. We know that even scientists tell the center of this earth is fire. I mean, it's hot down there. And I haven't read for a few years about the manhole project. Anybody remember the manhole project? Anybody remember that? It's where they tried to drill down into the earth. And they were seeing how far they could go. And they get down so far, and, you know, they just have all kind of difficulty because it's so hot down there. There's nothing we'll drill. And I don't know if they finally gave up on it or not, but it was called the manhole project. But anyway, in the center of this earth, there's fire. Well, the Bible says that's where hell is. But the Lord's going to destroy this earth. And so the place called hell is no longer there. And notice it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that was written in them according to the books. In the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death, that's the grave, gave up, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And so death, or the grave, and hell, the place of it, where they were, delivered up the dead which were in them. And hell had to do that because the Lord destroyed the place where hell was, and that's the earth. And so when God destroys it all, he brings all those inhabitants in that place up before him at this great white throne judgment. Now, I don't know how long it takes for them to get from hell to stand before the throne. But it probably doesn't take long. But let's say they had 2 minutes to get there. Can you imagine what those souls must think? You know, hell's gone. Here we are. We're flying through space. Maybe this is over. And then they see who's sitting on the throne. And they know it's not over. They know they're condemned because he's the one they rejected. And they see it's him that's on the throne. It's Jesus. And so Jesus will judge the unsaved at the great white throne judgment. And the end result of that is he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then the last thing that Jesus is going to do, and I believe it's Jesus who makes these. He is the Creator God. And, of course, we know the whole Godhead's involved was involved in creation, but Jesus is specified as the Creator. And so it says in verse 1 of chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. So the physical heavens, the Lord's going to make a new one. The physical earth, the Lord's going to make a new one. We don't know what it'll look like. We don't know really anything about it, except it's going to be a brand new one. Now, some people believe that God's going to make over this one. And they talk about a renovated earth. I don't believe you can support that from Scripture. Because 2 Peter tells us that the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. God's going to burn it all up. And Revelation says, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. It's like they're gone. And so I think Jesus is going to make a brand new one. Brand new earth, brand new heaven. And the reason I believe it's Jesus is because it says in verse 5, remember, Jesus is the one who has all judgment committed unto him. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Doesn't that sound like John 4? Remember the woman at the well? And Jesus referred to other places, the Alpha and the Omega. And here he's the one that's sitting on the throne, and he is the Creator God. I believe it's Jesus who makes the brand new heaven and the brand new earth. And so this is our Lord in action. What are the activities of Jesus? Well, there's a lot of them. Now, what's he going to do from there on? Well, when we get to heaven, maybe the Lord will let me print another sheet. Because I don't know. We're not told. And the only way we're going to know what happens after that is probably to be there and find out. And then I won't have to write it down because you'll all be experiencing it anyway. So he won't have to tell you. You could be able to tell me as much as I can tell you. And so whatever is coming, we know Jesus is going to be involved in it. And if he's done this much, I think we can count on him to do what's good for us, whatever needs to be done out in the future. But the last thing is the eternal state, new heaven and new earth, and that new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you where I am. There you may be also in my Father's house or many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you up there. And so that's probably the place that he's bringing down to sit on this brand new earth. And that's where we get the dimensions of it, almost 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of gold, and all those descriptions. That's the new Jerusalem that's going to sit on the brand new earth. All made possible because of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our Savior. We remember what Jesus said on earth one time. He said, my Father works, and hitherto I work. And we know our Lord, we know you've been very busy, Lord, for us, and you have many things yet to do. Help us to make sure that we're living for you because we love you and appreciate you. Help us not to take for granted the great God that we serve. And Lord, help us to believe you when we face things that seem insurmountable and problems that sometimes we don't have answers for. Forgive us for sometimes fearing. Forgive us, Lord, for not trusting you as we should. Because we know, Lord, that nothing is too hard for you. You've proved it in all these things that we see that you have done and are doing and will do. So help us to trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.